Well, good morning. Well, as we have heard and sang and prayed together this morning, this is Pentecost Sunday. It's the Sunday where we remember that Jesus sent his Spirit to be present with us, his church, and to give us the means to be his witnesses. So I'm going to read from Acts chapter 2, so please feel free to follow along in your order of worship or from your Bible, or you can just listen. So this is Acts 2:1-21. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in his own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words, for these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day, but this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even on my male servants and female servants. In those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Well, this is God's word. It is given for our good. Let's pray. Father, we ask that by your Holy Spirit this morning that you would come and teach us. Help us to see your grace, and may it change us. In Christ's name, amen. Well, I can tell you that I have been to the Blue Man Group several times. And for those of you who haven't been, perhaps you are thinking and wondering what the show is about. Well, I feel I need to tell you that it's not an easy thing to answer. I mean, I can tell you that it involves three men who are covered in blue paint from head to toe, who don't say anything. I can say that they are amazing at catching marshmallows in their mouth and doing creative things with paint and music, with toilet paper, with PVC pipe. I mean, I don't know what you have pictured in your mind, but it's probably really crazy. And I can also tell you that you will probably laugh. You'll be amazed, you'll be entertained, and you'll wonder if you can make a drum out of anything. But I don't know if I can tell you that what the show is about or comment really on its meaning. Well, perhaps maybe I'm just really dense, and maybe some of you can fill me in later after the service. But I share this because it relates to the sort of question that those gathered in our passage are asking. what they have seen, and they're asking because they have seen at this significant festival in Jerusalem, and they ask, what does this mean? What is happening? Well, in our passage this morning, we find the disciples and the followers of Jesus are in a time of waiting. Before his ascension, Jesus had told them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the promised helper whom he said would come. Well, this may seem like just any background detail to this bigger story, but it's important to point out. It's important for them to wait so that they are not out in front of God attempting to create and to fashion the kingdom in their own time and under their own means. So that they are not asking and worrying about when the kingdom will be restored. Instead, they are to wait and wait for the one who is to bring power when he comes. And I don't know about you, but if you are like me, waiting is not the easiest thing to do. How hard is it for us to focus on our work when we know that a 3-day weekend is coming? How hard is it for us to sleep and to slow our minds and our hearts when that promotion or vacation or graduation are at hand? Waiting is almost always difficult. But here it is, in a sense, a measure of their faith. Jesus tells them to stay in Jerusalem and to wait. So they are all there together, faithfully waiting. And the text says that there were around 120 of them gathered. And Luke tells us that they were gathered in one place, in a house, on the day of Pentecost. So we should ask, what is Pentecost? Well, Pentecost literally means 50th, and it was one of the three big agricultural or harvest festivals that took place 50 days or 7 weeks after Passover. It was a time when Jewish farmers from all over the world, they would bring the first fruits or the harvest and offer it to God at the temple. It had significant meaning in their lives because it was a time when they were to give thanks to God for his faithful provision. And it was also a time, a beautiful time, to offer prayer that God would continue to be faithful to their crop. Well, our text says that on this Pentecost day, as they were waiting, as they were all gathered together, suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And I don't know about you, but when I hear this, it sounds pretty terrifying and overwhelming. I mean, Luke seems to not know exactly how to describe this event. Right? He turns to analogy and uses words like or as to describe this moment. It's not that the sound was literally wind or that there was actually fire, but that it sounded and it appeared to be such things. So the thing about this moment is that when God is present, when the things of heaven break into our world, into our midst, how do you describe these moments? Well, one thing is clear. This is not something that they could have created on their own or something that they would likely be expecting or waiting for to come. It was something other, something heavenly, something strange and exciting, and most definitely something that God alone was doing in their midst. And here's the thing. When God shows up throughout Scripture, this is often what happens. God comes to Moses in a flaming bush. Isaiah, he sees a vision of God in the throne room, and the foundations shook at his voice, and the house was filled with smoke. Even three of his disciples who are present here, they have experienced something like this before when they went up on the mountain with Jesus, and he was transfigured, and they saw him in his glory. If you look at these encounters, you will see that it is terrifying, and in many ways, and many people fall on their faces, declaring their unworthiness to God. So here, Luke tells us that God is keeping his promise to them of a helper who is to come. You see, God's helper is his very presence, and they are filled with the Holy Spirit. This is different than what has happened before. In fact, it seems much, much different. They're not terrified or overcome or paralyzed, but rather they receive power and they begin to speak in tongues the mighty works of God. So what may seem like this terrifying and overwhelming experience is actually this moment where God fills these people with life, the life and the power of the Spirit. Later, when Luke speaks of this group of Spirit-filled Christians, he says things like this to describe them, that they were filled with awe and joy, and that this group, they would meet together, giving to people as they had need, that they were filled with glad and generous hearts, praising God, that they were people who worshiped together and broke bread, and it was said that some were moved to sell their possessions so that others would have what they need. I mean, it's clear that God is bringing a new and a dynamic life that is very different than what they had before. I mean, these people are being filled with a life that is transforming and with purpose. It is also clear in Acts and here in our passage that the life-filling presence of the Spirit, it moves people to proclaim God's redeeming and restoring activity in Jesus. The Spirit-filled people move towards those in need. And need to hear the saving work of God in this world, but also experience the love and the generosity of that community. Well, years ago, when I was in college, I spent a summer in Mexico working and living with a local pastor doing college and youth ministry there. And about halfway through the summer, we took a mission trip to help a church in the more rural part of the country. And it was a poor town. It was run down and surviving only because of the berry fields that surrounded it. And our role at this church was to lead a worship service every night that week. Well, the services were at night, and so there was a long periods that we didn't really do much during the day, and so there was a lot of downtime. But after the first night we were there, one of the workers who attended the first service, he came several hours early that next day. And I knew he wasn't from that town. And I knew because the local pastor, he had mentioned that all of the people that came that night before, they were migrant workers who had to travel to this place to find work. And I should say that the work that they did was backbreaking kind of work. So this middle-aged man, a foreigner in his own right, shows up. And he has the biggest smile, and he's full of joy. And I could tell he was eager for the service. To make a longer story short, over the next 4 days, he would show up around the same time, several hours early, and he and I would sit and share kind of a unique friendship. And what was interesting is that we didn't speak the same language, but we would read the scriptures together in our own languages. And it became for us something familiar that we shared that broke down the social and the physical and the spiritual and the cultural barriers between us. Well, I share the story because it was for me like a Pentecost moment. Not because there was a great sound of wind or people speaking in tongues. No, I share it because the Spirit of God, it broke through the barriers. And my friend and I were able to experience and relish in the redeeming work of our God together. You see, in our text, Luke shifts his attention towards these pious Jews and converted foreigners who have come, no doubt, to give their offering here at Pentecost. And Luke says that this collection of foreigners from all over, they heard this sound and they were bewildered because of what they heard. And you see, they are not hearing just any random thing, but they are hearing the mighty works of God in their own languages. This isn't something confusing or some strange mystical utterance. Rather, it is an Arab person who hears Arabic spoken to them by someone who speaks Hebrew or Aramaic. It is a miracle, and they are amazed. And part of why they are amazed is that most of the people doing this These are Galileans. They ask, are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? In other words, are not all of these people from the country? Are they not all from downstate and from those rural and uneducated places? These are not wise or noble or powerful people with fancy resumes. Surely it would have made more sense if people speaking to them were merchants who commonly associated with people from all over. Perhaps it would make more sense if they were from the cities, educated and familiar with other languages. But no, Luke makes it clear that these people were not any of those things. This was something to behold, something astonishing, but not just because of this miracle. You see, the coming of God's Spirit says a lot about how God's kingdom is to come in our world. It points to how God gets things done in this world. He loves and he takes care of those who are from those backwater places, those who are outsiders and on the margins of society, those of us who are easy to overlook and to write off. He uses people like this to declare his mighty and redeeming works. And he's going to use people like this to turn the whole world on its head. People, we should hear that God works with whoever he has, whoever they are. He works with people who believe because they know that the power they have is not their own, but it is given by God. And even more than this, this Pentecost, it points to the fact that with the presence of the Holy Spirit all around them, new life is going to happen. God is going to use their words, despite how untrained and unpolished they are, to proclaim good news that will transform people's lives, to speak fresh words of life that says to them that God has given a Savior whose death and resurrection, it makes it possible for people to know God and the new life that he has for them. God is going to use them to care for the stranger and the widow, to care for the orphan, to care for those in need, to bring about his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And here's the thing. It may be easy for us to read and to hear these words and see a people very removed and distant from us today. Perhaps it may seem easy to think that what these people encountered and the life that they have is not relevant for us today. Let me just say that would be a mistake. See, church, the same Spirit that came and filled these people at Pentecost is the same Spirit that fills you today. It is the same Spirit that calls us to proclaim and to share good news. It is the same Spirit that invites us to love our neighbor. And more than that, to love those who are different than us, even those who are difficult to love, who are our enemies. It is the same Spirit that asks us to pursue justice in our city, to remain faithful to our spouses, to see and hear the poor living in our alleys, to walk faithfully day by day with our God. It is the Spirit that fills us to live into a new world created by God that is not always easy for all to see and all to receive. In fact, when we live into this new community, there might be people there ready to mock, people to point out the foolishness of our world and the world that God makes, to tell us that it is impractical. It's impractical to welcome strangers, that it is unjust to forgive those who had done a lot of bad things, that it is dishonest to say that there can be no hope in the midst of suffering. Perhaps in these moments when we feel alone or mocked or estranged in this world, we should hear the words of Jesus given to his disciples before his death, when he said that he will not leave them as orphans, but he will send a helper. It is around the same language that the Apostle Paul also writes in Romans, that you and I have received the Spirit of adoption as sons and daughters. And the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Church, the Spirit of God tells us who we belong to. The Spirit of God sustains us and gives us life. And like these Christians at Pentecost who were filled with the Spirit and who experienced the love of God, the Father, in a way they had never experienced, we too need to lean into this love, to live in light of this love over and over again. God works with his people who live strong and confident in this love, who keep it close when words of this world speak doubts and challenges to it. People, this is the church. People like you and me, people with rough edges who don't have to be the smartest or the most successful, but they are people who God happily calls his sons and daughters, and who he gives his Spirit to share in his redeeming work here on earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray. God, we are thankful that you fill us with a Spirit that confirms to us that we are yours. And God, that your Spirit invites us to be your witnesses here on earth, and God, we ask that you would move in us. Help us to see the ways in which things are broken in our own lives and those around us in this world that we live. And may we be your witnesses, filled with your presence and your Spirit, to go and to boldly proclaim your mighty works. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.